Welcome back to Wrestle Fucking Cast Live, episode 160 fucking 6. This is the show where we do a serious discussion of the non-serious world of professional wrestling, and right on time, my neighbor upstairs decides to move furniture right above me. Thank you so much for that. I am your host with the most, Mr. Old School, along with one panelist this week. We found his car, Mr. Iron Man himself, Killer Carpe Diem.
We should have re-recorded it. It could have been like, I am the cop, and you are the old school. We are the podcasters talking about wrestling.
We might have to work on that for next week. That sounds fucking awesome, by the way.
I mean, with the audio genius I created on Last All Beer Inside with the outro, I don't see it being much of a problem.
To me, that was probably the best show we ever did, bar none.
So, just, you know. I mean, we got more shows in the bank coming up, folks. It's just once a month.
It's coming for you, yep. And I'm hearing myself. Watch your audio, please, Mr. Carpe Diem. But while he fixes that, we're going to get into the review of Payback. And we're going to get, well, not just like a match-by-match breakdown, but our thoughts in general on the pay-per-view. What would you score it? Let's start, if you had to give it a letter grade, Carp.
C+.
Wow.
That's being generous. I'm going to say C.
I'm going to have to slightly disagree with you. For me, it's a B+. I actually, well, maybe a B-. To me, the only thing that didn't really make sense was that House of Hoors match where they literally just went to some fucking roach motel.
I thought the way it was looking at first, I thought Randy Orton was in an escape room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when he actually showed up at the arena, he was shaved.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I was like, so he had the time to not only get out from the fridge, but also get cleanly shaved. That's it's a pretty good multitasker.
It's impressive. I mean, I've seen it on the highway before, stuck in traffic, a guy with like an electric razor, but that was a nice clean shave. That was like he went to a barber and had a professional done.
It just didn't make sense to me with all the writers, all the resources they have, that the best thing they could come up with, it's some bullshit, highly edited, like you said, escape room type segment. What, I mean, just it didn't make any sense that they would be that cheesy on a pay-per-view. You'd figure they'd be able to come up with something a little more intelligent.
You'd think so, but, you know, final grade is still old Mr. McMahon and some of the wacky things he comes up with, I'm sure.
Yeah. How about the Kevin Owens match? I mean, I wouldn't say I was a huge fan of it. It was a nice swerve because nobody figured Jericho was winning.
Well, Vegas did because the Vegas betting odds the day of drastically swung in favor of Jericho.
Interesting. You know what? It sucks that I can't like check those odds just before when I submit my picks for the Pick'ems game because that would seem like a genius. They must know fucking something we don't, right?
There's an insider.
Yeah, there's got to be an insider. I mean, and that seems like a logical thing to check the odds before, but we have to submit them on Thursday or whatever the cutoff date is, but yeah.
Well, because, I mean, with Fozzy going on tour, I thought this was going to be the blow-off match.
Yeah.
And then, I guess because they were one apiece, he gave them the rubber match on SmackDown, which we already saw. I figured here, you know, I guess since the big Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman thing happened at the end, I guess they didn't want Owens murdering murdering right. Jericho.
Right.
So it makes a little more sense. You have them close out SmackDown the way they did.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise especially to start the pay-per-view. You know, nobody picked it. It caught me off guard too. So it was cool to see the swerve. Austin Aries versus Neville. I mean, you know, shit finish, but I liked it. There was great back and forth. I mean, Aries just, it just sucks he's stuck in this cruiserweight division because he could definitely excel if he was on like a full SmackDown roster. I could totally see this guy doing really well on that roster.
Yeah, unfortunately, the stream I was using, this match was choppy and I missed the ending, so I can't really say anything. Watching the highlights, you know, the DQ ending. So Aries is obviously getting another match in, I think it's Great Balls of Fire. So the next Raw one. Stupidest pay-per-view name ever.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Vince is all like, oh, yeah, you know what the kids haven't heard in a while?
Little Richard, whatever the fuck, whatever he is. Yeah. Okay, Hardy Boys, Sheamus. This, I mean, nothing super special. The fact that they can't use the broken gimmick yet is still annoying me. We're going to get into a new story that might contradict that a little bit later. Don't want to spoil nothing. But this continuing kind of Team Extreme thing does not interest me at all. And it's already starting to wear off. I mean, this was what it was. But, I mean, you know, I guess it was to turn them heel. Makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, nothing significant.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Hardys are old, man. They can't be the sports monkeys
right
that they used to be. So, you know what? Get the time. When you're allowed to, this would be, they're in legal proceedings, obviously, still. So, apparently, only Vince hates the broken mat gimmick. But this is all hearsay. Even then, if they allow him to do the broken gimmick, it would be perfect for Cesaro and Sheamus to basically murder Matt to bring right. in the broken Hardy. Right. So
I think it'd be cool. Let's. Anyways, we don't want to say too much now. We got a new segment to get into mm-hmm. later. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Bliss continues to impress me. Her mic skills are fantastic, but even her in-ring quality, I found, has really gotten better. This match with Bayley is also just shows that she can work. And the nice swerve that she is now the only female to be a SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah, and the hometown curse continues. They love screwing over the hometown person in the ring. Bayley's from San Jose, and San Jose lost to San Jose player.
San Jose can suck my balls.
Yeah, seeing Bliss come up from the small little pixie character, small little cheerleader pixie character she was.
Little bit. No, fuck that. No, she just to fucking the 180. Yeah.
Vicious, as they call her, 5 feet of fury.
Yeah.
Angry, resting bitch. It's she's drastically improved from her days in NXT. And to me, she's got improvement still to come. We haven't seen her against Sasha on the main card.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her against Mickey. Well, we've seen her against these girls in a tag match, but one-on-one matches where they're given time. I think we're looking at some really good matches with these girls.
She is a really good heel. I mean, and just the level of improvement is fantastic. What'd you think of the Seth Rollins Samoa Joe match?
I thought it could have been better. It's, you know, they're obviously playing up the knee injury.
Yeah, I like that they played that. I mean, it's kind of like that old school work on the nagging injury, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, I guarantee you these two could have had a hell of a much better match. Knowing these two's history on the indies and Joe's history in TNA, they could have had a much, much better match.
You know, I would think I was the only one who picked the no contest here. but to me, it made sense to do that because you don't want either one to lose. I mean, Joe's loss wasn't significant. It was just a quick little roll-up pin.
Yeah.
But you kind of lose his momentum, I find.
You catch the bad guy off guard.
Yeah.
And then you know it's going to continue. So.
And to close the night, I was shocked that this was actually half decent. Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. Like, just the physicality was crazy. I liked the whatever blood pill he took to like show the internal injuries to sell that. And, you know, to have a guy like Broman, who is rather green still, Broman, that's his new name.
I highly doubt this guy's a bro type person in real life.
Strawn Broman. He fucking brought it, man. I mean, because that's a lot of pressure to headline a pay-per-view, you know, with the amount of experience that you have with a guy like Roman Reigns. But the match was entertaining, and they did what they did best, which was be physical, show their stature, and beat the shit out of each other.
Strowman looked absolutely amazing. They have built this guy properly. He's like a sponge for this business, man. He's picking it up so good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping I get to see Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar for the title at some point after what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Imagine
what's coming out of Strowman.
Imagine saying that 6 months ago, you know?
Oh, when he first came in, when he was part of the Brotherhood or the Wyatt family, I would have never thought this.
Yeah.
The guy had one frickin' match in NXT and they called him up.
Yeah.
And then just, he's improved on a weekly basis. I was the same. I'm like, man, this guy's just going to be another big man. He's going to be like friggin' Great Khali. He's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And I'm very, very happy he's proved me wrong.
Agreed on my end 100% as well. Okay, that's our payback thoughts and our review. Sound off at WrestleCast, or if you want to email us, WrestleCast@gmail.com. If you had anything that you disagreed with or just your general thoughts on the pay-per-view, we'd be happy to share it on the show. Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers. It seems not all the SmackDown wrestlers in the company can stop Raw's ratings decline, though. Monday's episode averaged 2.87 million viewers. Not only the lowest of 2017 so far, but also the lowest non-holiday, non-football season rating for 20 years. Which is a shame considering the show's excellent main event, a match most likely responsible for a very impressive 48% core rating from all of you.
So yeah, one of the lowest ratings, and no spoilers, we're going to have our Keep Dawson improve, but I thought the show was pretty good. So the question is, Cart, is there anything they can do to help with this ratings decline?
The way I look at it right now, NBA Eastern and Western semifinals was on, NHL playoffs, which are really freaking good right now, we're on. It was Monday's return of all the shows that were on hiatus for the winter.
Good point.
All of them started coming back Monday. They were up against way too much.
So just factors outside their control, you're saying?
Everything else. Network TV beat them this week.
Do you think, and I know I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but do you think the two-hour format could have helped here?
Perhaps. I'm not going to say yes for sure, but perhaps. Personally, because for the first hour, I'll sit at home and watch Gotham, or I'll watch something else, and then I'll start my PVR, and that way I get to fast forward through all the commercials, I get to fast forward through all the highlights from the pay-per-view that I already saw, so that's the way I watch it. My Raw basically happens in almost two-hour slot.
Right, but which makes sense, you know, and other people I know on the GroupMe chat or allwrestling.com, they'd watch the Hulu version, which is good and bad, it's 90 minutes. But sometimes you lose a couple of those cool segments because it's really up to them to cut it down. So, but for the most part, you get the main stuff, which is good. But yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about doing too. But what I do kind of to counterbalance that is I'll have it more in the background. And also I'm watching more than one thing at the same time. So with the multiple TV setup, I got maybe a baseball game on or a hockey game. So, you know, during those commercials, I got something to do. Because if not, you're just kind of fucking sitting there. And then the 3 hours does take a while to go by, so it's true.
Plus, I don't even know what else is on Monday nights. I have basic Canadian network TV.
Right.
I'm not thinking about an American who has 1,000 channels on their television.
That's true.
You know, so, but I'm just saying right now, NBA and NHL semis are really good. Even I've been popping on the non-Montreal Canadiens games because, you know, I need something else to watch, so.
Cavs can suck my balls. All right, next news story.
It appears as though, while nothing serious, Bayley picked up a nasty-looking injury during the 8-woman tag match on Monday's episode, posting an image on Snapchat showing a large gash across her neck. Emma later confirmed the injury, sharing an image with the caption, "Wish I could take credit for this battle wound." There's no word yet on what caused the cut, but it's most likely a stray fingernail during a chop.
Yeah, thank you very much, WrestleTalk. WrestleCast.tv.
WrestleCast Talk.
WrestleTalk.tv on YouTube for those two and for all the other clips I usually steal off you. Bayley got shot, got scratched by a fingernail or something. Thankfully, nothing too serious. But yeah, she got ripped open there. These women are going at it hard, Carp. I mean, is it just, do they need to let go, hold back a little bit, or they just, it's part of the game?
Well, I mean, I think it was inadvertent, obviously. Yeah. A large gash along the neck. Yeah, there's major parts of your neck which keep blood flowing to your brain. So obviously you're not going to do anything like that on purpose.
Yeah.
Shit happens. At least it wasn't worse.
Yeah.
At least she's not missing time. You know, from the sound of it, it doesn't sound like there's going to need stitches or anything. It's just a big nasty slash. So maybe get a week off, you know, don't work the house shows and come back.
Should the women hold off on the chops? Because it always looks awkward. Obviously, you can't give them a titty chop. So you're chopping them just above, like, the breast area near the neck. It just doesn't make, to me, it doesn't look right, you know? But I understand why Charlotte does it, but I don't know about the women chops.
Yeah, no, I think only Charlotte should do it. And if the girls were to do it, it should be like an open hand, like you were to slap somebody in the face, but you, like, slap them on the chest that way. You bring the hand downwards.
Yeah, I agree.
So that way you have a lot more control, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Our next news story. Okay, and this was, we were talking about the Matt Hardy stuff, so I don't want to spoil it too much. But apparently, Matt Hardy said on Facebook that his broken condition will return soon. So we know that apparently WWE's in talks with TNA to get the rights to do this. Is that true? We obviously don't know for 100% because they're not going to talk about it. So all you're hearing is either just some guy on the internet saying it, or potentially a guy like Meltzer overhearing some conversation or something. To me, it just this gimmick has to happen for the fans. This is why everybody was excited when he came back. They don't care about Team Extreme. Matt Hardy's only relevant because of this fucking broken gimmick, Brother Nero. I'm hoping when he says this, he means it, and this happens sooner than later, Carp. Agreed.
Agreed.
Disagree.
Yeah, no, that's why they brought him in. You know, his journey for gold or conquest for gold or whatever the hell it was called in TNA, and they were putting all the title belts in a dilapidated boat, Skarsgård. Yeah. You know, this was the top of coming in, and now the shit that's going on with Impact Wrestling, Anthem, whoever the hell is suing them, whoever owns the rights, just sell it. Just get it over with.
Make it happen, people.
I mean, WWE's not going to be like, oh, it's cool. The fans are going to turn on the Hardy brand, and they're going to be like, well, let's screw these guys. Like, we're sick of them now.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so this is not really a new story, but it's something I came across when randomly on Twitter, Angelina Love had a link to this, and it's essentially a website where you can request personal video messages from celebrities. You pay them a fixed fee, and then they give a shout out to you, you know, saying whatever, oh, it's your birthday, blah, 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 whatever. Whatever you want them to say, I mean, I guess within limits, they will say. So I came across it's not necessarily just WWE, but just wrestling, a list of wrestlers who will, if you, based on the fee, will give you a personal video shout out message. So it's almost like a Comic-Con thing where, you know, you line up for an autograph, you line up for a photo. This is without having to go to an event, you get a little video shout out. So if you have a friend who's a huge fan of Rob Van Dam and you're willing to pay $100, he'll give you a personal shout out. Carp, some of these prices I just want to run down. Some are like reasonable. Some are a little ridiculous based on the person. I want you to tell me if it makes sense, some of these guys, based on their value. Kurt Angle wants $50. I think it makes sense.
Well, now here's my thing. So it says a portion of proceeds will go to charity. My only question is how much of the proceeds?
I think it depends on the wrestler, and it's probably depends on the wrestler. 2% or something.
I mean, Kurt Angle with him being Raw GM right now, seems like a fair price.
Aries wants $60. I think it's a little high.
It's a little high for Austin Aries.
Booker T's $50. I think that's fair.
Yep.
RVD's $100 and Foley's $100.
No, RVD should be $50.
Yeah. Foley, maybe.
Foley, if it includes a ticket to a local show, a local stand up of his, that would be fine.
Yeah. Okay. R-Truth, $150, Carb.
It should be like $1.50.
Yeah, I know. The Snake wants $100.
I got a personal picture with him, an autographed DVD, and tickets to a show for $80. So
that's pretty good.
Canadian. 80, yeah. Canadian. 80 can,
yeah, I mean, Hacksaw and DiBiase are $50. A little high, but, you know, it's still a bit more reasonable. Velvet Sky wants $30. There was one, I think it was Coco, and he wanted $100.
You see what Brooke Hogan wants?
I did not see Brooke.
Go on her. Are you on the website?
Oh, what the fuck?
Yep.
$200 for fucking Brooke Hogan.
Yeah.
No.
No, never. I wouldn't even spend $2 on a message from her.
And, Knobs from the Nasty Boys, you need to give me $60 if you want to give me a video shout out.
Yeah.
And all I'm going to say is, literally, if anybody gets Gene Snitsky and wishes me a happy birthday, I swear to God, I will block you on every social media platform that I know. I just noticed Gene Snitsky wants $20.
Hey, hey, buddy, how are you going to block me from real life?
I will literally, if anybody, it's a warning, you motherfuckers. If anybody dares get Gene Snitsky to wish me anything, they're blocked. I'm banning them from everything. I'm sorry.
I'm unfriending
you. You are done.
It's too bad when we're going to record all beer and episodes and you won't be available since you banned me.
I'm telling you, dude. Nobody understands how much I hate Gene Snitsky. Do not do it. That's all. I'm just throwing it out there. Don't do it. The Brooklyn Brawler wants $30, which is amazing.
I wonder if I were to pay Brad Maddox, he could say something about Paige.
Who knows, man? It's clear that he was the one that released it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's celebvm.com. And, I mean, they don't just have WWE. They have UFC. They have musicians, actors, the fucking Coolio's on there. everybody's on there, and you know, a birthday present or just like the thing to have, you know, for a podcast or whatever, you get a video shout out. So check it out. All right, let's get into our Keep, Toss, or Improve for Raw. You know, Carp, a lot of good was on Raw this week, like we mentioned. For me, like a couple of shout-outs for the promo for Bliss. That whole segment was cool. Set up a lot of feuds for the women. Wyatt's promo was fucking on point. Oh, that's SmackDown. Hold on. No, it was Raw. It was Raw.
No, Bray was on Raw.
Yeah, yeah. The him and Angle, like that promo was on point. But for me, the main event stole the show. Rollins, Balor, and Miz. You know, Miz is what he is. But he was a perfect mix for the two. These two fucking brought it. Rollins was on crack, fucking jumping through the ropes and doing. Balor was on point. It stole the show. Probably one of the best matches on TV this year. So that's my keep. How about you?
Yeah, my keep is the triple threat main event. A lot of people say it was overbooked, but the overbooking created feuds.
Yeah.
That are going to continue or going to start. As well, I like the idea of elevating the IC title as the main title on the show, especially if they get it off Dean Ambrose. If that title goes to Miz and then he has an awesome feud with somebody after, I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah, anything, I mean, because we're only two, anything you would toss or improve for Raw?
Geez, I can't even remember that much of Raw because it was just, I was so focused on the IC title and the creation of it. For me,
it's just the lack of having the WWE Universal title on Raw. And it's a byproduct of not having Lesnar there. There's not too much you can do. At least they are elevating the IC title in its absence. I think that's okay.
Yeah, well, that's my weekly complaint is that since Brock's not on TV, neither is the title. And, yeah. You know, they had Naomi relinquish the title because of a knee injury. They had somebody else they had Balor give his title in because he got injured.
Yeah.
So why is Brock so special? Yeah, okay. Brock is a special thing, but he shouldn't be that special. Like, the not having the title on TV pisses me off.
Agreed. Agreed 100% on that.
And then improve. TJ Perkins is a heel. They should Akuma in Street Fighter. You know, they should give him like, you know, bright, like blood red hair and an evil intro. I know the intro's still new and they're trying to sell it on iTunes and all this crap. But if you're turning the guy heel and he's a video game character, make him a video game villain.
The music doesn't fit the character. It's tough to work with. I agree. All right, SmackDown, here we go. Keep the awesome proof. Come on, this is a good show, too. I'd say the one that just came to below my keep would be the Welcome Committee. You know, some people don't like the name. I think it's okay. I think it's cool that they're elevating women and having this bigger storyline. And they're using all of them, which is good.
Yeah, Welcome Committee, good, but they could have come up with worse. So thankfully, it's not that, you know.
I don't mind.
For me, the keep is definitely taking out Jericho so he can, you know, he can't come back on SmackDown anytime soon. And just making Owens look like the heel that he deserves to be.
Yeah, they're actually starting to boo Owens, which I think is good.
Well, him coming out and speaking French first off.
Yeah.
Crowd hates it because, I mean, unless he were here or Toronto or any markout town, maybe like Chicago or New York. But, you know, you go to Arkansas and, oh, vos chiés, stupid American, blah, blah, blah. You're going to get booed.
Pretty much, yeah. No, and it's great to see. Has he dropped a bit of weight? It looks like he's dropped some weight.
I can't tell if it's just because he shaved his face it looks like he's dropped weight or if he's actually dropped weight.
But it does look like he potentially has dropped a bit, eh?
It's potential. I think they're also booing him because, you know, two Canadians were the face of America recently.
Well, that too, yeah.
So,
but that whole thing was great. If you when you saw at Payback, his like Titantron on the floor there with him in the American suit. That was fucking great.
Yeah. Well, even his new shirt there, the KO with the American flag built into it.
Yeah. It's cool to see him back with the belt because he's,
yeah.
I love what he's doing with that kind of Face of America thing. It's great.
Well, I figured when he lost, he would be winning it back sooner rather than later. I just didn't know it would be, you know, Tuesday night on SmackDown. So
there you go. Okay. That's it for SmackDown. We will get into feedback. Got plenty of emails to check out.
Sorry, I had another keep.
Go for it.
The Fashion Files.
Oh, amazing.
I
fucking amazing.
Want Breezango to officially be renamed the Fashion Police.
They have to.
And I want them to win the tag titles.
That's the
so badly.
Like I said last week, the only thing I don't like is that name. They just got to tweak the name a bit. That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you see in the background they had, what was the name? Primo and Epico in the back. It said wanted for real estate fraud.
yeah. No, all the stuff like the criminal board trying to like link them, the Usos to all these other bad people. It's genius. And if they keep doing it, I know it's going to get more entertaining every week.
Agreed.
The writers on SmackDown are becoming the better writers than the two between the two products.
I'd agree 100% on that. Actually, yeah, and it's such a new dynamic. Like you could tell. Ross kind of like the old school, and SmackDown is more of that. They're going to take chances. They can elevate guys. You're going to have more of an opportunity if you're a superstar on SmackDown than you are on Raw.
I would honestly, at this point, if they're trying to elevate their show and make it big in India, have Jinder win the title, man.
I didn't hate Jinder this week. It was okay, you know? His match was a tiny bit sloppy, but Zayn, like, more and more you're seeing, you know, with his promos in the back and stuff. Like, yeah, I could possibly see a belt on this guy, you know? And it's only been 2 fucking weeks. So that's kind of cool. All right, let's get into feedback. We'll start with emails. Carp, we have the emails from last week, so I actually finally got access to the Gmail account, thanks to Heavy Set. So we're all set for future emails as well. Let's start with Mr. Fourth Row for his email from last week.
All right, from Mr. Fourth Row. Hello, all. Mr. Fourth Row, back this week to put a question to you. With the superstar shakeup causing some storylines to be mixed up with the... Sorry about that. Hold on a second, my phone's ringing.
All right, while he's doing that, because we're live... Are you good? You back?
Oh, hold on.
Okay. Mute yourself.
I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Live to tape, folks. Okay. Hello, all. Mr. Fourth Row back this week to put a question to you. With the superstar shakeup causing some storylines to be mixed up, with the opposite brand and Payback having a couple of matches with this quote-unquote dilemma, do you think that possibly the WWE keep this up and have at least one featured match from the opposite brand? Maybe this might even foreshadow a bragging rights pay-per-view. I personally like this happy accident, Mr. Fourth Row. That's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Carp, are we back from our phone incident?
Yeah, it's... Okay. My sister, something about my taxes. Anyways, it's
okay,
not
sweet. Okay, so given that, do you think that possibly WWE doing that, having a kind of the one featured match from an opposite brand, is a good idea?
It's a good idea. Yes. Is it going to continue? No, I don't think it will until bragging rights.
Yeah, I mean,
or Survivor Series or whatever.
Yeah, because I'm mentally starting to finally get to get used to this brand split. You know, it's been a little bit, and finally I'm understanding. Okay, SmackDown, Raw's Raw. Do you want to already mix them up again? I would say leave them separate. I prefer it.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, happy accident, yes. Part because the writers sometimes don't know what the fuck they're doing, yes.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Fourth Row. We will hear from you in about 2 minutes. Next one is up. Last week, Mikey Misfit. Go ahead.
Hello again, my fellow Wrestlecasters. I did attempt to record my question for y'all, but the audio was garbage, so you'll have to settle for another conventional email. So let's get into it. This week, we had the debut of Seth Rollins' new finisher, or so what I think it's his finisher. What are the panel's thoughts on it? Do you think the Raw announce team did its best job of putting it over? I honestly don't. I think he's got to find his mark with his new finisher because he's obviously not allowed the curb stomp and he probably wants to step away from the pedigree. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't blown away by it. You know, it's not a fucking stunner or a rock bottom, but maybe it'll grow on me with time. So I'm keeping my options open, keeping my mind open to it. Next question.
Where to go? Next question. The next thing on my mind is the House of Horrors match between Wyatt and Orton. What are your expectations for the match? Will it be an unmitigated disaster, or will it save the feud and give it a memorable send-off? I'm always the eternal optimist, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, having hindsight, you know, we've obviously seen that it was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, it honestly, it looked like maybe what, at one point it was like, hey, Kane, want to promote See No Evil again? We're re-releasing it on Blu-ray, so let's have your creepy house that we...
Yeah, at a Motel 6.
Yeah. Or it wasn't even Motel 6. It looked like it was the worst bed and breakfast ever. Now, if that were an escape room, awesome. I'm all in. But
all right, next up.
And then thanks again for all the wrestling chat. P.S. My condolences to Carp and Mr. Old School for the loss of playoff hockey in Montreal.
Thank you very much. Hey, I appreciate the empathy there, man. That's cool.
Yeah, that sucked. As long as he's, you know, not a Nashville fan, I'm okay with him. So always looking in from the outside, Mikey Misfit.
All right. And speaking of Mikey Misfit, let's get right to his second email.
All right. Bonjour, mes amis de WrestleCast. Back at you with some more questions for this week. Since they crossed paths, the rivalry between Neville and Aries has produced some great matches. This got me thinking, will either wrestler break out of 205 Live to become a star at the mid-card or main event level?
I would say it's got to be Neville right now. He is probably, I mean, yeah, he's the best cruiserweight, and not just because he's got the title push, but he really has gotten better on the mic, just being an evil fucking dude. He's got that down pat, and he's getting a reaction out of people, and he's playing that heel perfectly. So I'd love to see kind of an NXT or Ty-ish send-off, drop the belt to Aries, and put this guy in the main roster. I think he could do well on SmackDown. What do you think?
They're both ready for mid to main event.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff Austin Aries has done outside of his Austin star character in TNA, he's a legit threat in any division. The issue is with 205 Live, they're pushing it so hard, we're not going to see it for at least another year.
Do you think this 205 division goes away soon? Because apparently it's one of the lowest rated shows on the network.
I'm because the Cruiserweight Classic was so popular, I'm wondering if they're considering maybe doing a 205 Classic. They're going to call it the 205 Classic and see what that does. But
yeah,
it's the crowds.
They don't, well,
because heavyweights can perform like cruiserweights now, it's killing them. So
yeah, and like I said, having the show after a 2-hour SmackDown with lesser known names doesn't make sense. You have to have an NXT arena pre-taped and maybe still do the Raw and SmackDown, but have that show pre-taped and somehow make it work. That's continuity issues aside, that's the best way to do it.
They need 205 Not So Live or 205 Live to tape.
Yeah.
And then it continues, with the recent turn of Sheamus and Cesaro, do you feel it's necessary for them to have a tag team name and a new entrance music to solidify their heel status?
Okay. Well, they got the look. So Cesaro's lost the suit and they got kind of a get up with the jackets and the kilts or whatever. So that's kind of cool. Sheamus and Cesaro, well, they've been together so long, you can't give them a name now. It just doesn't make sense. And especially with Sheamus and Cesaro, obviously can't do that now with their heels. But yeah, I think they're too established to change the name.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, what the hell are you going to call them? Overseas Bullies, you know, Team Euro, there's no, you know, when Cesaro was with Tyson Kidd and the internet nickname for them was the Upper Cats, that was cool. But you can't give Sheamus and Cesaro an actual name. Like, what are you going to call them? The Ginger and the Swiss or the Swiss Gingers? You know,
no.
There's no.
No.
To me, there's no name you can give them. And entrance music? No. I think they're both established single stars. The Foley storyline that was given to them, you know, the best of seven and created the tag team, it worked. So keep it the way it is. Just have them as dicks now, you know, being sick of the Hardys coming in. And, you know, it was our time again and Hardys came in and fucked us. And it works.
All right. Next question.
And my third and final question of the week. Agree or egregious? Charlotte. Oh, my God. I said it right. Yeah.
Yay.
It's not all beer inside. That's why. Charlotte Flair will be the face / poster girl for WWE in 5 years' time. Yes or no?
I think she'll be one of the faces. She's already established herself as one of the best workers on the roster, female or male. So, yeah, she's got the name recognition, too. She just oozes fucking superstar. So I could see them totally pushing her as one of the top.
Yeah, no, unless something happens, she's going to be the top female superstar.
Unless we got a Fappening going, I think we're okay.
Well, the only one that might probably exist is the one like, because she was married to Bram, so maybe he's got something on her, but he's not going to use it. So that's all I have for this week. Thanks again for making this podcast happen. As always, always looking in from the outside, Mikey Misfit.
Thank you very much, Mikey Misfit, for the content, and hopefully we answered your questions to your liking. All right, our last email. Go ahead.
Hello, it's me, Mr. Fourth Row, with a question for you. With the hodgepodge of talent showing up on Impact Wrestling lately, some assigned to Impact and others that are independent or, as I've also heard, free market wrestlers, could you see Impact become a super indie? Is that even a term? Could it be a new term? We really want to hear your thoughts on this. Well, I mean, Impact's got to bring in new talent. They're obviously not going to compete with the WWE anytime soon. They're barely third in North America. So bringing what you got, the combination of Global Force Wrestling and Impact coming together, could be good for them. My issue is bringing Jeff back, but I like how Scott D'Amore is a background guy again. So that's my thoughts on it. But
ROH has the better roster, though.
ROH has the better performers.
Right now, I think they have the better, as of the non-WWE guys, ROH, to me, has the better list of performers.
Yes, agreed. It hurt them. I don't know. They broke it. You could tell they were going to break up the Wolves when
right. It
came back. So to me, that was weird. And then basically is Davey the evil one?
Yeah. He is. Yeah, Richard.
Davey, the evil guy, and making out with, as Heavyset calls her, Skeletor. It's not like the Miz and Maryse where Miz is amazing and then having Maryse with him helps.
Yeah.
To me, Richards needs her now. If she were to leave him, then he would go to shit. But that's just one character. I mean, Lashley's a great champ.
I hate Lashley, dude. He's never done anything to excite me at all.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's obvious that they're building to Del Rio becoming the combined champ at Slammiversary 15. El Patron. I like them bringing in Christine Von Erie. I've always been a fan of hers on the indies. So it's nice to... She's getting a second shot on TV. It's just weird not seeing her with the giant mohawk anymore.
So for me, having dropped off Impact several years ago, I'll watch clips and read news stories and stuff. Do you think it's worth for me to revisit it now?
If you can watch it on PVR and skip over some of the stuff, because the promos still need a hell of a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is the better wrestling, but sometimes, the way WWE's been going, it's like they've been focusing on good wrestling again.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Fight Network bought them, or Fight TV, or whoever.
They probably got them for fucking nothing, and they were already... I think they already had a cut of the company, so...
Yeah. We'll see. They need some major, major overhauling. Their women's... they're two... Well, it's Christina Von Erie and Rosemary right now. And they lost to Kay now, so that's... I like them having a dark team like that.
Yeah.
It felt like as soon as they lost the Hardys, they just started free-falling.
Yeah, that was a big loss, man. I don't know what the negotiations were, but it just seemed like those two were the only meaningful things on the show for so many months that to lose those guys, it was almost like an AJ Styles loss back in the day.
Yeah, no, it hurt them bad. I don't even know if they've... I don't even felt like they've recovered properly. I sometimes only watch half of Impact that I've had PVR'd, and I'm like, oh, other stuff to do.
Yeah.
No, so it's not, I don't know, they got to do something to get me back. It's almost like they should go back to the weekly pay-per-view format, which was, it was super cheese ball, but at least it was entertaining on a weekly basis.
All right.
Even just maybe cut the show down to an hour.
Yeah,
who knows?
Thank you very much, Mr. Fourth Row, for your emails, and Mikey Misfit as well. If you want to get in touch with us, email us, wrestlecast@gmail.com, with either an email or preferably now. I'd like to start getting some voicemails. If you want to hear what you have to say, and put a voice to that email. Don't be shy. All right, get into the Picks League. First event was this weekend. It was WWE Payback. And as we discussed last week, we have two teams, Team Eat and Team Work. And unfortunately, Carp, our team is getting our ass kicked. Not getting our ass kicked, but we are losing now, which we are not used to. Team Eat is actually in front 45-34. So not too happy with those results.
Well, Legend GBL and Adam had a 6-point night.
Yeah, that was what I was going to actually mention as well. The top fucking three, the four out of the top five are Team Eat. Legend, GBL, Adam, all six. Thankfully, you're on our team, you got 5 points. Captain Awesome and T-Mac as well from Eat got 5. So The rest of us are jobbing a little bit.
And Mikey got 5.
Yeah. So, listen, it's the first event. I got 3 points. I'll be back on top. Don't worry about that. I start off a bit slow. I come back. But yeah, not too impressed, teamwork. We got to catch up here because we're pretty much all near the bottom there. All right.
First event, man, and there's like 22 to go. So.
We got time for sure. Okay, that's the pick-ems. You'll probably get a little more in-depth review from the European Uppercut this week. So I guess that's pretty much it. We had an extremely eventful week of wrestling, pay-per-view. Raw and SmackDown were great. Let's get to the show plugs and credits. Mr. Carpe Diem, go ahead.
Oh, as always, at Killer Carpe Diem for personal stuff, or if you want to catch up with the other shows I'm on, which is CFL Easy Picks, at CFL Easy Picks.
Is that coming back soon?
It should be. I just got to make sure when the kickoff is and see if Heavy is readily available. I know the guys on Stable Wars will just do the picks. They probably won't jump on the podcast, but you never know. Speaking of StableWars.com, I tweeted about it. Hopefully you guys got your stables in. They were due before the pay-per-view. We have about 90 players this season, which is a little lower than usual, but I don't understand why you don't play. You can win a free DVD.
And like, it costs you nothing.
Not paying a dime. Nothing. We don't even have Amazon bans to like beg for money or beg for you to buy stuff like these other podcast one people like the Chris Jericho's podcast and Stone Cold's podcast. They tell you to go to Amazon. Stable Wars doesn't tell you to go nowhere. So think about it. All that free content. You can even jump in the forum and discuss wrestling like you do here with us.
Speaking of Amazon stuff that they don't make you go to, if you still want to go there, stfupodcast.com to help Charlie out. She needs to eat. Click on the link. You can find me at STFU Old School on Twitter. Find us at Rasslecast on Twitter. Once again, rasslecast@gmail.com for emails, voicemails. You don't like something? Let us know. We will air your grievances on the show.
I mean, if you guys don't speak up, how the hell are we going to know any better?
Exactly. So you're just going to hear us fucking bitch. And we might be talking out of our ass. Usually I am. So if you have a better opinion, let us know. All right, that's our show for this week. For Killer Carpe Diem, I'm Mr. Old School saying very much. Thank you. Fuck. Say live to tape. Thank you very much for listening.
It's amazing. I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe. And no matter what, you'll never take that from me. My reign is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing, it's amazing. I'm a monster, I'm a killer, I know.